I was talking to you a few moments ago about this proposed legislation called the Apartheid Bill, or referred to as the Apartheid Bill. I spoke to you about my very serious concerns about the bill, supporting, committing, or aiding apartheid in any way that is going to be criminalized. And to talk to me about this in a lot more detail is Sara Gonne, Policy Fellow at the Institute of Race Relations. Sara, good afternoon, and thanks for being with me again.
Hi, Simon.
So I'm going to put my hand up and admit that this was brought to my attention probably 20 or 25 minutes before I went on air this afternoon. So I don't claim to be in any way an expert on this particular issue. What does it mean to domesticate a foreign law in South Africa? What are they seeking to achieve by promulgating this apartheid bill?
Well, domesticating a law is essentially ensuring that there's legislation in place to enact effectively, bring the law under consideration as part of the South African law, so that if there's any action to be taken on the subject, the South African law provides for it specifically to be done so.
I believe it goes further than that. I believe they want to establish the UN Apartheid Convention of 1973. They want to establish it in South Africa as a standalone crime with broader and specific definitions, and with, if that wasn't enough, extraterritorial reach. I mean, that's quite
right.
That's quite broad.
It is. And I think considering where it originated from, which was the Al-Jamaa Party, which is an entirely Muslim party with an unabashed distaste for Israel, I think it's clearly intended to find ways to take criminal action against South Africans or anyone in South Africa who's linked to something that Israel has done or otherwise. Because it, the only country that has been labeled an apartheid state outside of the original South African apartheid state is Israel. And that, we know, is largely a product of propaganda rather than substance. And there's a point of a debate about whether it would stand up to scrutiny.
So many questions. I'm just wondering where to start. Al-Jamaa, I mean, I thought there was a crazy party on the fringes of our society. However, it appears that this bill is also supported by the ANC, the EFF, the MK, the PAC, and the Good Party. If that's the case, well, then we're in a bit of trouble.
No, exactly right, because they would have the numbers to pass a bill like this. But it's very much a reflection of the antipathy towards Israel and, in some instances, the anti-Semitism perpetuated by the left. It's not necessarily coming from a religious space other than its original proposers, but it's coming essentially from the parties on the left who generally have a strongly pro-Palestinian, anti-Israeli outlook on things politically. So there is that risk, other than the fact that it is very likely to struggle both with issues of constitutionality and to actually exercise that reach, because the fact that a perpetrator may be in South Africa or the victim may be South African, but maybe it may be perpetrated from outside, it's not clear how exactly the justice system would go about dealing with that without it being costly and probably unsuccessful.
I'm not sure I'm understanding why you're saying that. I'm looking at the wording, the proposed wording. They're talking about the right of South African courts to prosecute individuals accused of, and here it gets so wide, supporting, committing, or aiding apartheid acts anywhere in the world. They've defined Israel in terms of laws as an apartheid state. Therefore, donating 20 rand to the JNF could be construed as supporting or aiding.
But that's why I think that while they may have spelled it out, I think the problem is they would have would be satisfying a constitutional infringement of a constitutional right to association as much as anything. And the arguments whether the support for Israel does amount to support an apartheid state would require the actual proof that Israel is an apartheid state, and you get into that's my only sort of, I don't want to say bright spot, but my sort of assessment of why I think it would be very difficult to actually prosecute something under this legislation. But it's not to say that we don't have a group of people who are very, very keen to try anything, essentially, to have a go at any support.
I mean, if you took this to its, if you took this to its logical extension, sorry, if you took this to its logical extension, we'd have to re-edit our prayer books. We'd have to remove references to Jerusalem and Zion, because that could be construed as aiding and abetting.
Well, that's where it reaches its potentially ridiculous reach, because it goes against the freedom of religion. And wouldn't be the only student, the only person that would that would, you know, would suffer from those egregious references, shall I say. And of course, it could be action taken against a Christian a grouping that is supportive of Israel or supportive of Judaism as a foundation for Christianity.
Yeah, I mean, I could see a situation where, like I was saying a little earlier, we could be like the Jews of Iran, where we are forced to sign the declarations of loyalty to the state. It could get to that degree. Chai FM certainly wouldn't have a place, or at least I wouldn't have a place on it. This is really, really concerning development. How does one fight this, Sarah?
The first way to fight it is by opposing... by opposing this, the legislation. The first way is through the Dear South Africa website, which looks at legislation and gives an opportunity for people to express their views and comments to a greater or lesser extent on legislation that they like or don't like. And that would be an obvious place to start. And the other would be to, you know, to lobby. They talk about the people, the parties that have been in opposition would be the Democratic Alliance and the Freedom Plus Front. Sorry, the Freedom Front Plus. But I think, you know, I can't imagine that this is going to go down well with the Patriotic Alliance, for example, because they've shown themselves, for whatever else they may espouse, they've shown themselves to be supporters of Israel. So it's really about lobbying, bringing the issue up, pointing out its ludicrous extent, and using every opportunity that one has to oppose it, to approach parties that are likely to oppose it, amenable to one's argument against it. It's really just making it very public and slamming it for really a heinous, in fact, almost racist piece of legislation that it is.
Sorry, you live in this world, so I think you assume that people know about the relevant websites. You mentioned something, I think, of crucial importance, the Dear South Africa website. I hadn't heard of it up until 45 minutes ago. Do you want to just tell us what it is and how one accesses it and what you can do on it?
Okay, I'll just see if I can get it. I think it's literally www.dearsouthafrica.co.za, and the website's purpose is to literally present pending legislation to the public to see what legislation it may be. It can be legislation about anything, and to gauge and to put out polls on whether it's found support or not support or partial support, and to allow people to comment so that it itself has become a site of commentary on legislation, and this would very much fit. Pardon the pun. This would fit that bill.
Interesting. I was also wondering to what extent this isn't just a publicity stunt in order to gain some notoriety and increase their popularity. I'm just thinking, you know, this has been tried with the attempt to rename Sandton Drive to Leila Khaled Drive. There was a lot of support from a particular portion of the public for that move. And then, as Joel Pollack said to me, there was no ways on earth that the American Embassy was going to find itself as number one Leila Khaled Drive. And it was dropped very quickly. It's just become a non-issue. Don't you see this going in exactly the same way?
I think there is an element of that. I think particularly because a piece of legislation like this would up the ante in the nature of the not entirely agreeable relations between the US, between Trump and ourselves. And really, much as as Ramaphosa would like to think, that, you know, we are, because we are a sovereign state, we're equal to all other sovereign states, and particularly sovereign states in the developed world. We're not, and we actually desperately need to be, distasteful as may or may not be, depending on the perspective you're coming from, more amenable to making South Africa much more attractive to the USA in regard to investment. And, you know, we've been looking at gift horses in the mouth because they've essentially asked for things that are not all that impossible for us to do, frankly. And we've been doubling down, whether it's on expropriation without compensation, so it's a fixed property right, or whether it's on, and they've just asked for exempting American companies from BEE legislation for companies who want to invest in South Africa. They're not even saying, you know, excise it completely with regard to the entire South African legal scene. So I think it's partly just to sort of display their bona fides with the, I suppose, what one would call the developing world pro-Palestinian movement at the moment. And given the amount of propaganda that came out of the last few years, it would probably look, make them feel like they're looking, you know, quite progressive in this regard.
Sarah, we're going to wrap it there this afternoon. Thanks, as always, for your input. I just want to re-emphasize what you said. Go to the Dear South Africa website if you want to voice your opposition to this particular proposed bill. And as Sarah stated this afternoon, there are such glaring incompatibilities with our own South African Constitution and Bill of Rights, as well as our freedom of expressions and religion, that I can't see this progressing to where Al-Jamaa wants to take it. Nevertheless, we need to be very, very alert to what it is they are trying to achieve.